God's grace, his mercy, and his peace to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel found in John chapter 11, we heard just a moment ago. Jesus said to her, to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." This is God's word. In the world in which we live today, there's a whole lot of varying opinions on exactly what it means to be a Christian. And today, on the event of Kristen's funeral, I want to explain to you two essential characteristics of the Christian faith that maybe you have heard they're part of it, but you don't know just how important they are to knowing what it means to be a Christian. Because you see, a lot of people today presume that Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. People who talk about living for God and serving Him and doing His will, but their actions don't match up with their words. And you know what? They're not wrong for saying that. The church is certainly filled with hypocrites, people who have been called to live one way, and yet they don't do it. They talk about the importance of God and His word, and yet their lives show nothing but hypocrisy. Oh, we chalk up that hypocrisy to what we call sin. That God has called us to be His people, to be holy, to reflect who He is to the world around us. And we constantly fail. We fail in our actions. We fail in our words. We fail in every thought that comes out of our hearts. We call that sin. So a misconception that I kind of want to clear up is that the world doesn't divide neatly into good people and bad people, but rather into the fact that all of us have sin. There are only those who acknowledge it and those who don't. Now, if we were to find someone we might label a good person, I think Kristen checked so many of those boxes. I think we're all amazed at how God could fit such a big heart into such a little body, right? She just exuded love for her family and her friends. And I only ministered to her as a pastor for about a year, but everyone I know who's known her, and I've known her family for a long time, that's just who she is. Filled with love for so many people. And I'm telling those of you who are closest to her, her family, every single one of you she talked about when I went to visit her. Every one of you. And if you're thinking, nah, he's probably not talking about me. No, I am. Because that's who she continually talked about. The people in her life that she loved, that she thought about, that were so dear to her. I think we could, in a sense, by earthly standards, say Kristen was a good person. And the world would be a whole lot better if there were a lot more people like Kristen in it. Am I right? Agreed. But Kristen would be completely scandalized at the thought of me, her pastor, getting in the pulpit and giving a sermon that talked about her greatness. Because you see, Kristen was one of the sinners. I've gotten in trouble with people for saying that in a funeral before. But I know Kristen is giving me permission to say that about her. Because of the hymn that we just sang, and there's a neat little kind of story that goes along with it that came out of her passing a week ago today. In church the previous day, Kristen and Dave were here, and that was one of the hymns that day. And she commented to Dave, as Dave later told me, that that was one of her favorite hymns. And then when John got into town on Monday, I said, yeah, your mom told Dave that there was a hymn that was one of her favorites. He goes, "Chief of sinners though I be." I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, she's always said she wanted that at her funeral. That's how Kristen saw herself. Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Kristen knew the reality of sin and death and evil and wickedness in the world. And you know where she saw it greatest? In her own heart. Because we can all see our own hearts better than we can see everyone else's. She knew the reality. She knew the score. That she was a sinner. Like every other person in the world. Like every one of us. Whether you're a preacher or you're a layperson in the pew, no matter what it is you do, you are one of the sinners. And Kristen knew that reality. And yet she loved to sing, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high. Lives that I might never die." Maybe saying to yourself, "Oh, now, hold on a minute there, preacher. That's a load of garbage. Lives that I might never die?" Because this is death that we're face to face with here before all of us. On this day, Kristen doesn't live, at least not in the way that we remember her. Her smile that could light up a room, her sense of humor, her love for people, with the memories of it. But this is death we're looking at. This is someone taken from us way too soon. Maybe kind of like a character we heard from the scriptures today, Lazarus. A friend of Jesus that we can imagine was probably roughly Jesus' age, maybe a few years older, maybe a few years younger, probably in his 30s somewhere. Taken way too soon. Did you catch the words that Lazarus' sister Martha throws at Jesus? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Maybe some of you have feelings like that going through your mind as well. "Lord, why did this have to happen? Why is a son without a mom or parents without a child, husband without a wife, siblings without a sister, friends losing someone so near and dear to them? Why does this have to happen? Lord, if you had been here, if you had been doing what it is you're supposed to do as Lord, Kristen would not be dead." Then Martha says, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." What would you ask from God today? As you stand here, sit here in the face of death, the death of someone taken too young, the death of someone loved and precious and important in your lives, what would you ask of God? To give you Kristen back? We would love that, but we certainly wouldn't want her deprived of the joy of heaven. We wouldn't want her back struggling with cancer and chemo and pain pumps and all the garbage she had to deal with for the last several years. We wouldn't want her to do that. That would be selfish, right? We would want her back, but we would want her free from pain, free from suffering, free from all the garbage that this world throws at us because it's broken by sin. Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die." You see, dear friends in Jesus Christ, in Jesus, death never, ever has the final word. Death never gets the final say. This is not the end for Kristen. No way. Because death has been defeated. And that is the second thing that you have to know about the Christian faith. First, that Jesus died for sinners, and we're all one of them. Secondly, that Jesus rose from the grave to defeat sin, to defeat death. He lived again so that Kristen will live again, so that you will live again after you die, so that death will not have the final word. Now, maybe some of you chalk up the resurrection to a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of legend, and, you know, a tall tale of sorts that's been spread about for 2,000 years. Actuality, it doesn't take a whole lot of digging to find out there's more historical data to back up that Jesus rose from the dead than just about anything else in human history. Eyewitness accounts, extra-biblical accounts written by people who were not followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose. And of that, here in the Christian church, we are certain. We are convinced. And dear friends in Christ, you know what? Kristen was convinced of it as well. Despite the fact that she saw herself as chief of sinners, as deserving of death and damnation, like all of us are, she knew that chief of sinners though she be, Jesus shed his blood for her and for you and for me. That he died that she might live on high, that he lives that she would never, ever die. In Jesus, death does not get the final word. Her Savior is the resurrection and the life. That is the Christian message. Jesus dies for your sins. Jesus rises, so you will rise as well. We're kind of trained here in the Christian church to talk about heaven, right? I mean, that's one of the things Christians do. When we die, we go to heaven. But you know, that's really an insufficient way to look at things. I mean, it's true. Kristen rests with Jesus now, in his arms, at his side, free from sin and pain. But you know what we said in the Apostles' Creed just a few moments ago? We said, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body. That this body we lay to rest will live. Because Jesus lives. Because Jesus lives, Kristen will live. Isn't that what you would ask of God today? If you could have anything from him, Lord, give us back our daughter, our mom, our wife, our friend, our sister. Wouldn't you have him give her back to you? But have him give her back to you free from pain and suffering and hurt and the evils of this world? You know what? Jesus says, done. That's exactly what he will do. And that is what gives us hope in the middle of sadness, in the middle of all the grief and the hurt and the pain and the sorrow and the suffering. That is what gives us joy in the middle of it all. Death doesn't get the final word. In fact, in our Old Testament reading, which you heard Pastor Mackey read shortly ago, heaven, the new heaven and new earth that God will bring about on the last day, it's described as a mountain. A mountain with a feast on it. A feast of rich food. A feast of well-aged wine, of rich food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. I don't know if there will be any Cajun food there, but I imagine if Kristen has a say, there will be. Seriously, I don't know how someone so youper could become so Cajun in just a few years of being down in the bayou. He will swallow up, Isaiah says, he will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, that's the Christian message. That's what it is. If you're one of those people that's outside of Christianity, you don't quite know about the church and what it's all about, you hear a lot of things, you might think you know what it is. You might think we're a bunch of hypocrites, that we don't always live up to what we're supposed to. You're right, we don't. Not even Kristen did, because we're all sinful. We're all born corrupted and in need of salvation. But the Christian message is this: Jesus died for sinners, even the chief of all sinners. Even for Kristen, even for you, if you see yourself as the worst of all the sinners that there are, he died for you as well. But he didn't just die, he lived as well. Rose again, victorious on the third day, with a promise to give life again to Kristen and to you and to me. Kristen confessed that faith literally until her dying day. On the last day of her life, she knelt at this very communion rail in front of which her body now rests. She knelt at that rail and received the body and blood of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, she awaits the feast with him from the other side of the rail. She sits with him in paradise, awaiting that mountaintop feast described for us in the readings a moment ago, when together we will feast with her on all that our Lord wishes to give us. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, take heart. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Death doesn't get the final word. Not now and not ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.